time for the Bay Area's favorite quiz show, Minds Over Matter, with moderator Dana Rodriguez. Joining him tonight will be technical editor Kara Pace and educator Lori Fisher.
If you ain't wrong, you're right. If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that.
And it's gotta be our moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Damien, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. Hope you are having a lovely weekend, a lovely post-Memorial Day weekend. And we also hope you can spare us an hour of your valuable time tonight, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we are here asking for your participation, so we hope you will do that. Give us a few minutes of your wonderful time. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, yes, we have a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. We do a couple of lines open right now, so if you want to give us a call, it's a great time to do it. I know we do get a little bit crowded occasionally, and we do not like to leave people out there who have took the time to call in and have a great question or a great answer. So again, 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. So please give us a call as soon as you can, and we will get you on the show. We will do our very best. And so anyway, I also want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That is the numeral one. So again, that is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. It's always great to hear from our listeners. If you have a comment or a question, pass that along, please. We generally don't read them during the show, but they all get read. And some of them even get answered. So mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. And, of course, if you'd like to hear us in live stream, as if this is not enough, just go to kalw.org, and you can hear us there if the signal's a little weak in your area. And, of course, if you'd like to hear the podcast, it should be up reasonably soon after our show tonight in many places. But you can start with kalw.org. It should be available. Sometimes you have to scroll down. I was talking to Damien about this before the show. Sometimes you kind of have to, if you say you go to Google and you look for Minds Over Matter, KLW, there'll be maybe three, four, five, six, seven, eight listings. Sometimes you might have to go down to the second or third listing to find last week's show. Just keep that in mind until that all gets straightened out and it's all in one listing. Try that if you can't find it in the first listing. So anyway, okay. So all that being said, I will say hello to our panelists tonight. That would be Kara Pace and Lori Fisher. Hi.
Hi. Good evening.
Good evening. And, of course, we will start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. And here's the first. Kara Pace never started a blog, so she has nothing to shut down this month.
This is true. Mm. Also, I'd like to point out that for the past couple of minutes, I've been watching the Damien show. He's like flipping back and forth between Kermit, the Muppet Kermit, and he's doing some Madonna voguing and a little bit of Billy Dee Williams. So it's been very entertaining.
Only our audience could see. New level of the show. It's something. Wow.
True, there are still a couple of hundred objects in the sky that the U.S. military cannot identify. Fortunately for our audience, one of them is not Lori Fisher. He is highly recognizable, and I actually see him here with us on Zoom tonight.
You do?
I do.
I'm right next to Damien.
You are.
And, like sands through the hourglass, these are the days of our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, lives.
Life.
These are the
Life.
Days our moderator Dana Rodriguez lives, is what I should say.
Yeah, okay. Beautifully spoken. Lori.
Yeah, like sands through the hourglass. These are the days of our moderator. The days of our moderator Dana Rodriguez lives.
Next, thank you. Okay, so all that being said, we will start with Kara Pace.
All right, I'm going to start with my list question. Get my long one out of the way early, but I have got just a bunch of terrible movie quotes, just lines that are laughably bad. And I will read them to you. And I just want you to tell me the movies from which they came. So here we go.
How many we got?
I'm going to do 10. Yeah. So get ready to write. Ready? The first one. A woman's heart is a deep ocean of secrets. That is the first one. The next one. I don't like sand. It's coarse and rough and irritating, and it gets everywhere, but not like you. You're soft and smooth. The next one is, love means never having to say you're sorry. Number four is, drop the zero, get with a hero.
Drop the zero, get with a hero.
Number five, is we were married once, weren't we? Number six, I've got a twofer. They're both in the same movie and they're equally bad. Either future events such as these will affect you in the future, or, but one thing's for sure, Inspector Clay is dead, murdered, and someone's responsible.
Inspector Clay.
Inspector Clay. Mm-hmm. Number eight is, I got the results of the test back. I definitely have breast cancer. And I'm actually just going to do, here's my favorite because it's so bad. I'm going to take you to the bank, Senator Trent, to the blood bank. So I just did nine. So any of those?
Well, I only have the lowest of the hanging fruit. How about you, Dana?
They all seem to be low hanging in a strange way, but go
they're
ahead.
They're not all from the same movie, right? That'd be great.
No, they're not. I don't think so. Anyway, go ahead. Yeah, that's fine.
I did two, but I told you that.
The only one that I think I know for sure is Love Means Never Having to Say You're Sorry. Which is from Love Story. And the great Ryan O'Neal. And written by Eric Siegel.
I would have been ashamed to do that, but Lori has no shame. So
I don't. Yeah, the opposite. Right.
So
you can run the table on the rest.
So, all right. I want you to go through them quickly once more, and then maybe I'll pick one out here. Go ahead.
All right. Let me remember the order I did them in. I didn't do these ones. So we started with A Woman's Heart is a Deep Ocean of Secrets. I don't like sand. It's coarse and rough and irritating, and it gets everywhere, but not like you. You're soft and smooth. Drop the zero, get with a hero. We were married once, weren't we? Future events such as these will affect you in the future. Also from the same movie is But One Thing is for Sure, Inspector Clay is dead, murdered, and someone is responsible. And then... There we go. I'm going to take you to the bank, Senator Trent, to the blood bank. Oh, and I got the results of the test back.
Yeah.
I definitely have breast cancer.
All right. Drop the zero, get with the hero. I'm really kind of ashamed I know this.
Do you?
Is this Vanilla Ice by any chance?
Oh, my God. Yes. It is. Okay. It's his movie, which is called Cool as Ice.
Yeah. Oh, Dana, you knew that?
I'm starring
Vanilla Ice and the dad from Family Ties.
All right. Damien says it's his biography. But, okay, so that. And
threw a Hitchcock in there and you went with Vanilla Ice. God bless you.
There's a Hitchcock, huh?
There sure is.
Inspector Clay is dead. I'm going to work on that. And,
I want to say that I got the results of the test back. I definitely have breast cancer is from a movie filled with terrible quotes. And what makes that one so special is that it is absolutely the only reference in the entire movie to breast cancer at all. It's just randomly thrown in there.
All right. We'll leave those out.
Okay.
And then, okay. So that's one's for Lori and one's for me for, although mine should be louder because mine was much harder.
It was. I am very impressed.
But yours is from a movie I've never heard of. Are most of these from obscure movies?
No.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. I think I impressed Kira with my knowledge of Vanilla Ice.
Oh, no. Vanilla Ice? Absolutely.
That you know Vanilla Ice's work is really
I was just
impressive.
Talking about how like there's so little Gen X material to, you know, the,
Okay.
Yeah, like there's not a ton of Gen X material, and so it's I'm very impressed that that was a hard Gen X question that you totally just nailed,
and almost a pop music question, just on the verge of Vanilla Ice. So we're getting close.
Okay, and Lori, you better go ahead too.
Okay, so my I have a list question coming up, but I have a lead-in that we'll do first, and it is about Grammy Awards for Best Comedy Albums, which started back in 1959, and it took a whole bunch of time before people who weren't just regular old white stand-up comedians to get nominated. So I'm interested in who were the first two African-American performers to be nominated for a Grammy for Best Comedy Album, and who were the first two women, and by that I mean women who were on the album by on the recording by themselves. So Elaine May and May and Nichols, they were nominated first year, not them. There are lots of pairs. So these are the first two African-American performers and the first two women who were not linked to men in their recordings.
And you said nominated, not won.
Nominated. I think I think one of them, two of them won, but I'll just hang out with the nominations. So I'm looking for four different performers.
All right. So, but the women don't necessarily have to be African-American because you
see.
Okay.
And they aren't.
And they aren't. So I won't say Mom's Mabley then. I won't
Mom
say that.
Mabley did not get a nomination.
Okay. Well, I'll say either Godfrey Cambridge or Bill Cosby.
So Bill Cosby's one of them. Give yourself a bell for that one.
All right.
And
we're
looking for, and that was the one because he was nominated and won so many times. The other one I'll just say is a bit of a surprise, the other nomination for the African-American.
How about Dick Gregory then?
What nominated did not, someone was before Dick Gregory.
Okay. All right. Okay.
And then Kara, any? And on the two women?
Did Gilda Radner?
Ultimately, yes, but not early
enough. But not early on.
It was after these two.
What about Lily Tomlin?
Yeah, that's one of them.
Okay.
1972. And there's one before Lily Tomlin. I'll give you a hint on the Bill Cosby. That was 1964. And the other African-American was nominated the same year as Cosby. So we're looking at somebody, a woman before 72, and another African-American male in 64.
The African-American male, was he also very political?
I'm going to say yes.
All right.
I'm going to say yes, and yes in quotation marks, too.
All right, but not George Wallace.
Not
the African American comedian George Wallace, not the super white racist George Wallace. Okay.
No, I'm neither of them.
Okay.
Not
okay.
Neither right. The governor of Alabama nor the other one.
All right.
Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Zeed. How are you?
Good.
So KBFA brought this subject this morning. It's really important. So I'm going to ask you one question. But anyway, so it was one of them was called the Little Boy, as you know. The other one was called the Fat Man.
Well, those are the atomic bombs, yes.
Right.
Where were they dropped?
Hiroshima and Nagasaki, yes.
What country?
Japan.
Japan. Yes. Okay. To the near 1,000, instantly, how many people died in Nagasaki or killed?
50,000?
Hiroshima first, roughly.
50,000?
Very close, 66,000. Yeah. That's in an instant. How many in Nagasaki?
I want to say 75.
Less,
I thought. No.
Less?
Well, I'm not sure.
Take a guess.
I'll say 75,000.
No, it actually was less. But 66 in Hiroshima was 39 in Nagasaki.
Right.
But those were the lucky ones. Over 200,000 died over the following months or years from radiation poisoning. Yeah. Okay. So what is atomic shadow?
What is atomic shadow? Now, wait a minute, Ed. You said you're going to ask one question, and now you're asking two questions.
Well, no, wait a second. A question was a bunch of branches. You know, people ask me movies, about 10,000 movies.
Okay.
No, yeah. What are atomic shadows?
Does that have something to do with the illness that results from after the bomb is dropped?
No.
Radiation poisoning?
It doesn't.
Okay. Now that I know.
I'll give you the answer because I have follow up very quickly.
Yes.
All right. So the atomic shadow, these people totally evaporated, but you could see their image on the stones. Everybody remember that. We're dealing with something, and this is going to happen. I have no question. I have no trust in humanity. We're going to do it. The last thing, how many grams of plutonium and uranium were transformed into energy? How many grams? Just grams.
No.
To kill all of these people.
No.
It's like 100,000 people.
Take it was like 20, something like that.
Seven.
Seven?
Okay. 7 grams of uranium and plutonium were transferred to kill. Pretty much was all over. It was about almost 400,000 people were killed by both bombs. Thank you.
Thank you, Ed.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I don't know. Let's see. Cheerful. And let's see. All right. Let me do a couple questions here, then we'll go to another call. All right. So what – you may remember a couple weeks ago I asked about the country for the Summer Olympics that has won the most medals and never hosted. So now I'm going to ask about the Winter Olympics. So what country has won the most medals in the Winter Olympics without ever hosting the Games? Again, what country has won the most medals in the Winter Olympics without ever hosting the Games?
How about Finland?
That's a good guess, but the Winter Olympics have not been in Helsinki, and yeah, that's true. But no, right. It's not Finland.
Poland?
No, not Poland.
So this is who's won the most without hosting?
Who has won most medals that has never hosted the Winter Olympics? Yes.
And so somebody's won more than Finland who has not hosted, I guess, right?
Yes.
Okay. Hmm. Is it a Northern European country?
I'm not going to say.
Wait, what about Sweden? Because I don't think they ever hosted winter. I think they only did summer.
They have. Let me think for now.
See, I don't think they've won as many as Finland, though, have they? Hmm. That would be...
I believe this country has won more than Sweden.
I think you're right. They haven't hosted the winters.
Right.
Perhaps I should say they have never hosted either the summer or the winter Olympics.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh, all right.
Maybe that helps a little bit more. So
should we go, Karen? How about Norway? Should we run the Scandinavian?
No,
Norway has Lillehammer.
Yeah.
They've even done a winter.
Yeah.
So again, what country has won the most medals in the Winter Olympics without ever hosting either the Summer or the Winter Olympics?
I'm going to guess Poland again because I really think that's
not
right.
Poland. No.
You always bring out Poland. How about Jamaica? No. Any chance of Jamaica? Okay.
And the second question is, there are two California state parks named after actors. What are the two state parks?
Wow.
There are two state parks in California that are named after actors. What are they?
Well, I don't know for sure, but is there a Ronald Reagan State Park?
There is not.
Oh.
What about Bob Hope?
There is not a Bob Hope State Park.
Are both the actors dead?
Yes.
That's what I figured. So not Schwarzenegger.
No.
Ooh, what about like James Dean?
No.
Okay.
Do we associate them somehow with environmental stuff or their career in the outdoors?
You know,
outdoors
one of them
movies?
is linked to this person's record as an environmentalist. Yes.
Oh, what about like Audrey Hepburn or?
Nope.
Okay.
So again,
go ahead.
There are two California state parks that are named after actors. What are they? And what country has won the most medals in the Winter Olympics without ever hosting either the Summer or the Winter Games?
Can I ask real quick, is the actor a gender non-specific term here?
Yes.
Okay.
And let's go to a call.
Clever.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, are you all ready to have the most fun you've ever had? Here it comes. Remember I was talking about Mary Tyler
you
Moore?
You didn't give me a chance to say yes or no, but go ahead. Go ahead.
Mary Tyler Moore, we did Mary Tyler Moore. I left out one character. Remember how I did that last week? It was great, by the way. I left out one character, and that's the theme for the beginning of this. Who is the character unseen, we only referred to in Mary Tyler Moore?
Phyllis's husband, Lars.
Right.
Lars Lindstrom. Yes, that's the first one. Okay.
He was an orthodontist, if I recall.
What's that?
I think he was an orthodontist.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Phyllis really? And we don't...
Excellent.
Okay, who's the unseen character only referred to in All in the Family?
Ooh.
I mean, his name comes up. We never see him. He's but we know who he is because they refer to him.
Is this the one of the people that Archie works with, like Stretch, it's not,
Cunningham? Stretch
not
appears.
Stretch Cunningham, but...
That's a good answer, but I think Stretch does appear.
Is it a neighbor?
No, don't think of it as... It always comes up, and there's a little word play between Edith and Archie.
That would be my only guess, is that okay. Somebody Archie
you know,
worked
when,
with.
When Archie always says, Reverend Fletcher, and she goes, Felcher, whatever. That's a little back and forth they always talk about.
Right.
Anyway, now as far as Sanford and Son.
Oh, his wife?
Yes. I'm coming to meet you, Elizabeth. This is the big one.
Yeah.
We never see her, but an important person. Oh, and who is the unseen character in The Odd Couple?
Was it... Felix's wife?
No, because she did appear from time to time.
You're right. That's right. What's her first name? It's tricky, but because Oscar's wife does appear. Brett Sanford from Match Game.
Right.
She makes an appearance.
Brett Summers. Yeah.
Right. But Felix's wife never appears.
She does appear.
You know her first?
No. Huh? She does. She does. She turns up on a few shows. I know that show reasonably well. And, she does appear as a character. And she's definitely in the last episode because they get remarried.
Really?
Yeah.
So what's her first name?
That I don't remember.
I don't know.
Don't remember.
It's Gloria.
Gloria, okay.
So, but let's this is funner and faster. Voices only. And this is the one that's the continuation of Mary Tyler Moore. Voices only. We know them by voice. We hear them. It's kind of obvious.
And
what's the question?
Yeah, what's the question?
we know them by voice. They Ooh. Never appear. We hear them, though.
Yeah, but who are you, you know...
What show?
What show are you referring to?
Okay, I'm going to give it away. Rhoda.
Well, that's Carlton the Doorman.
Carlton the Doorman.
That's Lorenzo.
Right.
Lorenzo Music did the voice to that. Did the voice.
Okay. And the other voice we hear only is the name of the show. Who is that?
Oh, Charlie's Angels?
Exactly.
Right.
Okay. And now this one's tricky.
Okay,
this
now we have to go because I have to give the station ID. We have to sort of keep it to a couple of questions each because
okay.
we have people waiting online.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel tonight, that would be Kira Pace, technical editor, Lori Fisher from Dabo Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. And we'll go to another call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, it's Bill in El Cerrito.
Hi, Bill.
Hey, all right. I'm going to give you four words. I want you to tell me what they have in common. Hallucination. Electricity, carnivorous, and misconception.
Are the words, what they have in common, does it have something to do with the way they are spelled?
No.
Okay.
Etymology? Is something about their etymology?
It is.
What was the third word again?
The third one was carnivorous.
Do they all come from the same language?
Yes.
Okay.
What, the third one was carnivorous, you said?
Yeah. And misconception, electricity.
Oh, well, we had nation and city in the first two, but then it all falls apart after that.
Misconception certainly seems Latin, like a Latinate. But it's more than just the language it comes from? Is that, that's not
it
the
is.
Answer, right?
It is. Okay. Full answer, yes, correct.
Well, electricity comes from Greek, does it not?
You're going down the wrong path there, Kira.
Oh, okay.
So is the language that they all have in common, or the root language they all have in common, is that a language that's spoken widely today?
It is indeed a language that's spoken widely today.
So are these... So these are not, well, let me think of the approaches.
Carne, carnivorous.
Are these invented words in any way?
Yes.
Okay.
Invented by the same person or group?
Very good. Who was it?
Is it a person?
Yes.
Okay. So we got that. And this person, did this person write in English?
Indeed.
It's not Shakespeare, is it?
Yeah, is it Shakespeare?
No, it's not Shakespeare. That's the first place you'd probably go, but no.
Is it Dr. Johnson?
No.
Are we close to the right century? Because carnivorous seems like an old word, doesn't it?
Yeah. I'll give you the century, 17th.
What about Newton?
No.
Okay.
Is this person best known as a writer rather than a scientist?
Actually, no.
Okay.
17th century. I almost said Benjamin Franklin, but that's not 17th century.
How about Galileo?
No, and I think it's probably a little obscure. If I tell you he was a physician and a philosopher, does that help?
Well,
Did we get this? Was this person's native language English?
Yes.
Did they write a textbook or of some kind that is still used today? So it's not sort of a Grey's Anatomy kind of thing?
Well, he might have, but that's I wouldn't know.
Okay. I think we've gone about as far as we can go with this then.
Yeah, I think you've done quite well actually. His name was Sir Thomas Browne. He was known as a master wordsmith. He added nearly 800 words to English.
Whoa. Oh, I'll have to write that down.
That's wild.
Right.
That's great. I'm surprised we haven't heard of him. That's remarkable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. All right.
Yeah.
Thanks. Cool. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Good question.
Oh, by the way, a couple of quick guesses on something. As far as the state park is concerned, Melissa thought maybe Paul Newman?
No, not Paul Newman. This would be... I don't want to lead you too far astray with the environmentalists. This person was concerned with the environment, but this was an earlier time.
Okay.
So, yes.
Okay. And as far as the country with medals and no hosting of the Olympics, the Netherlands?
Not the Netherlands. They've actually hosted, Amsterdam has hosted the Olympics.
Oh, they have? Okay.
Yes.
And not Hungary?
Not Hungary. Hungary would be the next one down, I think, beyond this. But no.
Wow. Okay. All right. I'll give it up.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Bye.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Please give us a call. We'll take as many calls as we can for the rest of the show. And those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Kira, I'm going to ask you to – I think we all use fairly short questions for the next half hour. So if you have a shorter question, go ahead.
Yeah. What about this one? Now, what actress was Howard Hawks' second cousin? He cast her in one of his movies.
Was she a star in this movie?
Yep.
How about Rosalind Russell?
Nope.
How old is this movie?
How old is this movie?
Yeah.
I think 1940s. Hold on, just a sec. I will tell you momentarily.
It's not Lauren Bacall.
Right? No.
Because I recall him meeting her for the first time.
Right.
Not like a cousinly thing.
It's not Joanne Drew, is it?
No. And my apologies, 1930s.
And this woman's a pretty big star.
I've heard of her. So.
That doesn't count.
Well,
okay. No, it totally does. For this era, it absolutely counts.
Huh. 1930s.
So what are his big movies in the 30s, Dana? His Girl Friday is
He's got 25 movies in the 30s, so it's that's a tough. Was this the leading lady of the movie?
Yes.
Not Frances Farmer, is it by any chance?
Nope.
Well, he's from the South, so
did he direct Key Largo?
No, he did not. That was John Huston. Okay, I got to work on that. And Lori, if you have a quick question, you go ahead too.
I do. I think I don't know if the answer is quick. just using the Bay Area as our model here, what are the two most diverse cities in the Bay Area based on the largest numbers of representations of the most different ethnic groups?
You mean the most widely diverse city in terms of minorities, you know, or population breakdown or however you want.
Correct. Yeah. Okay. I'm looking for the top two in the Bay Area.
Well, I mean, the obvious answer is probably also wrong, but I'll guess it anyway, San Francisco.
No, it's not in the top 10.
Well,
so
yeah, there's been a lot of flight out of the city.
So I just want to clarify this. Is it sort of the fewest white people and the most minorities you're looking for kind of thing?
I'm going to say yes. In other words, there's substantial numbers of all people of color, Asian, Latinx.
Yeah. You know, Damien suggests Berkeley, which is a good guess. And I would suggest Daly City.
And neither of them are in the top. I have the top 10. I'm only looking for the top two. Neither in the top 10, believe it or not.
No.
Yeah. Berkeley's not.
How about Richmond or San Pablo?
Those are getting closer to the demographic, but those aren't in the top two either.
All right. So
So we're looking for the two most diverse cities in the Bay Area.
Yeah, maybe El Cerrito. Huh? No,
Not El Cerrito either.
Okay, so let's.
What about Colma?
Colma. Yes. That's actually a good guess because you're thinking about where it's cheaper to live, I think. But Colma's not in the top 10 either.
She was thinking about where you're buried.
I used to work at a record shop in Colma, and there are just a ton of different types of people.
Like
everyone was there. So
and they were all alive at the time they came in.
Only living people came into our store. This is
and
true.
That's all we're counting.
You can't
in
be
survey.
Absolutely sure about that. But okay, so let's quickly repeat any questions that haven't been answered yet. And Kira, we'll start with you.
All right. I have a bunch of bad movie quotes, and I just want to know what movies they came from. And here they are. A woman's heart is a deep ocean of secrets. I don't like sand. It's coarse and rough and irritating, and it gets everywhere, but not like you. You're soft and smooth. We were married once, weren't we? I'm going to take you to the bank, Senator Trent. To the blood bank. I got the results of the test back. I definitely have breast cancer. And then a movie that has two terrible quotes in it, which are these. Future events such as these will affect you in the future. And, but one thing's for sure, Inspector Clay is dead, murdered, and someone's responsible.
Okay. Inspector Clay is dead, murdered. Then... it's the murdered that gives it away. So I think that's Plan 9 from Outer Space.
It's Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Yeah.
Nice.
Dana, which of those is the Hitchcock movie? Do you know that?
I don't know.
I don't recognize any of those.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
My questions are, I'm looking for the first Grammy Award. I'm looking for Grammy Awards for Best Comedy Album. Bill Cosby was nominated in 1964 as the first African-American the same year. So another African-American performer, male, was nominated. Who was it? And Lily Tomlin was the second woman nominated. Who was the first? And the only clues that I'm looking at the time on the first one, it's a musical. In other words, there's music in this comedic album of this performer for the other woman.
All right.
And also I'm looking for the two most diverse cities in the Bay Area by the amount of diversity in different populations in that city.
All right. And what are the two California state parks that are named after actors? And if you want to tell me where they are, that's fine too. So what are the two California state parks named after actors? And what country has won the most medals in the Winter Olympics without ever hosting either the Winter or the Summer Games? Okay.
I have one more guess for that, if that's okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Denmark?
No. Okay. And I will give you one more question now. So I'd like you to identify the poem and the poet who wrote these two lines, and they're both from the same poem, and why they are important. So, and this is translated, just so you know. The first line is "Long sobs of autumn violins." And the second line is "Wound my heart with a monotonous languor. So once more, identify the poem and the poet who wrote these lines and why they are important. They are from the same poem. First line is Long Sobs of Autumn Violins. And the second is Wound My Heart with Monotonous Languor.
Was it Autumn Violins? Is that what you said?
Yes.
The musical instrument and Wound My Heart with Monotonous Languor.
With a monotonous languor, yes.
Yeah. And they're both translated.
They're both translated.
And they're significant for a reason we'll figure out.
For a reason beyond the poem itself.
Yes. Yeah.
All right.
Are they from a Greek tragedy?
They are not from a Greek tragedy.
I guess violins would eliminate that. Okay. Yes. I don't know.
All right. And the two numbers to join us are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is JP and Karen from the Richmond.
Hi, JP. Hi, Karen.
Hey, we had some guesses, a whole bunch, actually. So most Olympic winter medals, but no Olympics. Could that be the Czech Republic?
It is the Czech Republic, or Czechia.
Nice.
Very good.
All right, great. And best comedy Grammy album by an African-American, earliest, Flip Wilson?
It was before Flip Wilson. He came a few years later. That's a great guess, because he was about 3 years later.
Okay. All right, great. How about most diverse town or city in the Bay Area? Antioch?
Antioch's in the top. No, I'm sorry. Antioch's not on the list at all.
Huh. So no. Okay. All right. Well, then to the quotes, which I'm a little bit more confident about. The "I don't like sand, it's all coarse" is one of the worst of many bad lines from the Star Wars series, right? From episode 2, I think it's Anakin Skywalker who says that.
See? That is all correct. Attack of the Clones.
Oh, good job.
That is correct. Good job. Yep.
That's his sweet come on to
Padme.
Right. And I got the test back. It's breast cancer is one of the best, if that's the right word, lines of the room.
It is. Nice.
Oh, okay.
The room. Nice.
I got the results of the test back. I definitely have breast cancers from the room.
Okay. That's all we got. Thanks.
Thank you.
Well, let me make a correction. The caller was Antioch is in the top 10, but it's not in the top 2. So sorry, caller, you were sort of right.
All right.
And just to clarify, because Damien actually gave me this idea, he wasn't sure Antioch could be considered in the Bay Area, but you're talking about the greater Bay Area, right?
I am. So sort of what I consider to be the nine counties, so Solano, Contra Costa, San Francisco, San Mateo.
Right.
I won't name them all, but yes, the greater Bay Area.
Okay, that's fine.
And that's good to know, because the two are in the greater Bay Area.
Oh, what about like Sunnyvale then?
Not Sunnyvale.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't think he won. All right. Well, anyway, okay. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter M. Brindle.
Hi, Peter.
For the state parks, what about Will Rogers?
Will Rogers State Park. Yes.
Nice.
Los Angeles. Very good.
Good work.
Good job.
Are you ready for some more fractured flickers?
Yeah, go ahead.
Just
tell people what you're doing here.
I am thinking about two films. The last word of the title of the first film is the same as the first word of the title of the second film. Mm-hmm. I will occasionally drop an article like a Z or an A or something like that in the second film. So I will give you the name of the director and the year, and you tell me the combined title. I can give
no
you
documentaries.
All right, I tried to make it a little bit easier for you this week.
Well, the documentaries threw me off.
Sorry. I was trying to make it difficult. Okay, our first one was directed by John Ford in 1952 and Fred Zinnemann in 1966.
Wait a minute. 52, The Quiet 52. Man of All Seasons.
Perfect.
Yeah. All right.
Nice.
Very good. Okay, our next one, the first film has actually been done several times. I will give you the first one, William Wellman, 1937. And the second film was directed by Roy Del Ruth in 1936.
All you, Dana.
Well, 1937, William Wellman. A Star is Born...
Yesterday? A Star is Born Yesterday?
No, wait a minute. What was the second one again?
Roy Del Ruth, 1936. Sorry.
Eleanor
Powell and James Stewart.
Oh, A Star is Born to Dance.
Yes.
Okay.
Nice.
Okay. Next one, director Preston Sturges, 1941, and George Cukor, 1972.
Well, Sturges 41, so it's either Soul of His Travels or The Lady Eve.
Mm-hmm.
What was the
Travels,
second one?
George Cukor, 1972.
Oh, Travels with My Aunt? Is that Travels with My Aunt? So,
yeah.
Sullivan's Travels with My Aunt. There you go. Sorry.
Yes.
Okay.
Perfect. And then I've got a couple of colorful ones for you here. The first one is Howard Deutsch, 1986, and Blake Edwards, 1964.
Is that Howard the Duck?
No.
1986. Yeah.
So say the directors again, please.
Howard Deutsch, 1986. Blake Edwards, 1964.
64.
So is that a Pink Panther?
Oh, yeah, it is a Pink Panther.
Yeah.
So is it? Is that? It's Pretty in Pink Panther.
Yes.
Nice. Good job. Yeah. Good job on that.
Nice.
Good group effort. Okay, and the last one, director John Ford in 1947. And the second one's been done twice, once by Martha Coolidge in 1983, and then again by Rachel Lee Goldenberg in 2020.
47. Is that Ford Apache?
No.
Is that The Fugitive?
No.
Wait a minute. You're not thinking of the... No.
Which is the Coolidge film in 83?
Yeah.
Kira, you should know that.
No,
Oh, is
I
that
don't.
Richmond? Is that Richmond?
Oh, Fast no. Times at
Best
Richmond.
Time?
It wasn't remade, though.
Is that Valley Girl? No, she didn't do that.
Yes.
Oh, it is Valley Girl? Okay.
Valley Girl was remade?
Oh.
How Green Was My Valley Girl?
See,
you threw me off, because How Green Was My Valley is 41, not 47.
Oh, sorry. My mistake.
All right.
All right. Well, good job, guys.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Tom in Castaic.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. The Blood Bank, I'm going to take you to the bank. That's Steven Seagal, but I can't say what.
It is Steven Seagal. You want me to just guess one?
All of them.
I don't even think I know it yet.
Steven Seagal is...
Not
Steven Seagal.
Hard to Kill?
There we go. Hard to Kill. That is correct.
Is that right?
Take you to the blank bank, Senator Trent, to the Blood Bank is Hard to Kill.
Good job.
Beautiful.
That's not a good job. I'm sorry. Facing my brain. Best comedy album of the African American male. It's not Red Fox, is it?
It's not Red Fox.
No. He did those party records.
His records
because they're too controversial, I think.
Okay, and the female, is it a woman? I can't remember her full name. Rusty something?
Rusty
Warren?
Long ago.
No.
Yeah.
I remember Rusty Warren. She was also like Red Fox, a little bit bawdy. It was not her either.
Right.
Yeah. I just remember seeing her obituary a few days ago.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I saw it in the Times.
Not her. Good guess.
Okay. Did you get the state parks yet?
Nah, well, we have one, which is Will Rogers State Park.
Then the other is probably Sutter Buttes.
It is not.
No, Leo Carrillo.
Leo Carrillo State Park.
Oh.
He was an old Spanish California family, became a well-known character actor, and was a bit of an environmentalist, and he gave his estate to the state to make a park out of it. Yes, very good.
Well, they didn't. He actually has two. He's got there's a state historic site, which is his old house down like in Carlsbad.
Right.
Remember seeing a Heilhauser thing on that, and then there's the state beach or the state park at the beach. Which
right.
Is,
one's in
he
LA
never owned that,
and one's in Ventura.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, Ventura County. I used to trust. I grew up very nearby there. I've been there a million times. Okay, let's see. And then the most diverse cities. How about to Gilroy, is that considered Bay Area? From Santa Clara County.
I don't think it's the Bay Area, and it's not on the list, so I'm not sure why it's disqualified, but it's not there.
And Vallejo?
Yes, that's number one. Very good. Vallejo's the most diverse city in the Bay Area. And then got a guess for the second other one?
Fairfield?
Fairfield is number four, so you're really close, but it's not it.
Okay.
This is more diverse than that. Yeah. Kind of in that general area. We're looking at the time of Solano County.
Like Martinez?
Not Martinez, but you're hanging out in the right area.
Close in.
Not yet.
Yeah, no, I don't want to take up time.
Okay.
The question I have, who was the first author to have three consecutive number one books on the New York Times bestseller list?
How long ago was this, Tom?
The 70s, 60s, 70s.
Irving Stone?
That's a good guess. Sidney Sheldon?
No. No.
60s and 70s. James, no, James
Michener? James,
James Michener? Michener? Is that who you're going to say, Karen?
No,
I was going to say Clavell. Who wrote? Yeah, who wrote Hawaii?
That was Michener.
It's not Michener. Female author.
Oh, so
Jacqueline Suzanne.
Yeah,
Jacqueline Suzanne is correct.
Is it really?
Yeah,
that's a surprise. And not that she did it, but that she was the first.
No,
I thought these people were before. Yeah.
To be fair, of all the authors we mentioned, I only have one of them on my bookshelf. So.
And it's her.
Right,
it's Valley of the Dolls. Absolutely it is. That looks hilarious.
Well, thank you.
Great show. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
I got to give Damien got one right. I want to give him credit.
Oh, okay.
The other album by an African-American nominated for comedy is Cassius Clay. Did an album called I Am the Greatest.
I thought you were kidding about that.
That's the other one. He and Bill Cosby were both nominated in 64. Great job, Damien. Okay. Beautiful.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Leo Carrillo was the other movie star, but I have to mention something about Leo Carrillo. He was responsible, since he was a state park trustee, and giving Hearst Castle to the people of California.
Okay.
Because he was a commissioner in the 1950s for the state parks. Thank you.
Nice.
Thank you. Appreciate that. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Feel free to give us a call. We have 13 minutes left. And those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Actually, we have one line open now. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Fran, San Francisco.
Hi, Fran.
Hiya. I have an easy, fun question.
Great.
I have four songs. Just listen to the four of them. They're all about time. So I want to know who did them, either the artist or the group. One is Time. One is Time is on My Side.
That's the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, that's right. Does anybody know what time it is?
Yeah, that's Chicago.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the last one is Time and Love. So I have Time and Time and Love.
The first one, Time, is the Chamber Brothers. Is that right?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And the what's the title of the fourth one?
Time and Love.
Damien? Kara? Dana?
Nope.
Joni Mitchell?
No, but it is a female artist and writer.
Mm.
Kind of a folk singer type?
No.
Let's see. You said Joni Mitchell. What about Carol King?
No. But it is the 60s, late 60s, maybe early 70s.
No, don't know.
Joan Baez. No, you said no folk singer.
No.
But a singer-songwriter?
Yes.
And she wrote the song, too?
Yes.
It's a little early for Carly Simon.
Yeah, not her.
Janis Joplin?
Oh,
nope.
That's good.
I'm going to give it to you because I have one more quick question. It's Laura Nero.
Oh, nice.
Anybody know her?
Yeah.
Oh, I did. I don't know that song, but I know her. Sure.
Lori, I knew you'd get these. I have one more question, very easy. Who is Dweezil?
Dweezil Zappa?
Is Frank Zappa's kid. Yeah, right. One of them.
What?
Yeah, Frank Zappa's
kid. Yes, yes, yes. That's it for me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Moon's sibling, right?
Yeah, yeah, Moon Unit and, yeah, and Dweezil.
Yeah.
And Ahmet.
And Ahmet, yeah.
And that's right.
So we had Valley Girl and Dweezil all in one show.
And nice. We do have a couple of lines open. So if you'd like to give us a quick call, we have time to take that. And those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, 415-841-4134. Or toll free 866-798-8255. Let's see. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Well, hi there. It's the Gefilte Puffins in Albany, Danny and Sandra.
Hi.
Excellent. Good recipes.
We've been waiting to say that for weeks. I'm kind of sorry I got euchred out of the comedy albums. I was hoping one of them was Godfrey Cambridge, but was he ever in there?
He was. He was nominated in 1966, which is 2 years later. He was in the next group. Yeah, very close.
Because I still have a 1968 Godfrey Cambridge for President dollar bill stashed away somewhere. So here's my question. There have been only four Best Actor, Actress Oscars awarded in roles in movies with a numeral in their titles. Only four. And this doesn't count with not numbers that are spelled out, actual numerals. What movies and who?
Butterfield 8 with Elizabeth Taylor's one.
Good, that's one.
Very good, very good.
Didn't somebody win off of Godfather 2?
Not a Best Actor or Actress.
Okay.
And the word's not spelled out, so it's not One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
It is not.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
It's not spelled out. Okay.
How far back do we go?
1929.
Oh, well, in that case, let's see.
Dean, is there one that has a year in the title where somebody won?
Nope.
Okay.
Your name isn't Dana, but.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
Okay. That's true. I'm either Gefilte or Puffin. I don't
know. How long have we been married?
Oh, how about the Private Lives of Henry VIII?
Yeah, very good.
Bingo. That's right. 1934. Charles Lawton.
Charles
right.
Lawton. Okay.
1929. Well, that's Disraeli, but that's not the one you're looking for. And then the woman.
Think actress.
Yeah, the actress is Mary Pickford, isn't it? Isn't that Mary Pickford's year for Coquette? But that's not a number.
What's the year of the other one you're missing?
1954. We're still looking for.
Ooh. Stalag 17?
Did that Bingo!
Yeah, there you go. William Holden. Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, Dana, you have to get the early one.
I figured this was in Dana's wheelhouse, but...
It is.
So, wait a minute now. You're sure it's 29?
Well, that's what my records show. I sure hope I didn't get this wrong.
Dave Morse says 1930, Pickford's 29. No, tell me what it is.
Seventh Heaven with Janet Gaynor.
Oh, that's 28, 27, 28. Yeah, okay, that's the first year. So,
oh, my.
Okay, no, that's no problem. It's not a problem.
Alrighty, well, I'll save my baseball question for next time, but all thank right. you guys.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye. Keep eating that fish.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, I'm calling back to guess Phyllis Diller for comedy album.
Not Phyllis Diller. If she's on at all, she's later.
Oh, well, I guess because she has an offstage partner. I guess I'm talking about Fang. just as Columbo has an offstage presence, his wife. We never see her, but we love her. Okay, take care.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, an answer for the Winter Olympics question?
Yes.
Switzerland?
It is not Switzerland. Somebody actually got a little bit earlier. It's the Czech Republic.
Oh, okay. All right. Thanks.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yep. Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Sparky and Maddie.
Hi.
You're in Connecticut.
Hi.
All right.
Hi.
The line earlier, love means never having to say you're sorry. That was also used in What's Up, Doc?
correct.
Oh, yeah.
Said by Ryan O'Neill, right? Or to him.
Well, actually, it was said by Barbara Streisand. And then Ryan O'Neill says, that's the worst line ever. Something like that. Yeah. What comedy album? How about Mrs. Miller?
That is it, Sparky. And what was the name of the song that she sang?
The song that she did was Downtown, the Petula Clark tune. And Mrs. Miller's Greatest Hits, which is, if you ever come across it, it's bad.
It's horrible. But that is the correct
answer.
Versions
of A Hard Day's Night and These Boots Are Made for Walking, and it's bad. It's
William Shatner territory. Terrible.
Right.
But she was nominated. First woman, 1967. Big Bell.
Okay.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Ray in Berkeley.
Hi, Ray.
I have a guest for the diverse cities in the Bay Area. What about Richmond?
Richmond, believe it or not, I'm looking at my top 10 list, is not in the top 10, which surprised me.
Yes, because at one point it had the most representative population for the entire United States, and now that's changed. Were We Married Once, weren't we? Was that from the movie Arthur?
That is a good guess. It is incorrect, but that really does sound like it could have been dialogue from Arthur.
Yeah. And that strange French phrase about the violons of France, I have a half-remembered memory that is a secret code phrase in a movie signifying important secrets in World War II.
You're absolutely right. The two lines are the two code phrases that were repeated endlessly on the BBC. The first, long sobs of autumn violins, and that meant the D-Day was going to happen within 2 weeks.
Yes.
And then the second was, wound my heart with a monotonous languor. That means the D-Day was about to begin in 48 hours.
Wow. So that was broadcast to the resistance all over France.
That was broadcast to, through the BBC, all over France. And today is the anniversary of D-Day, I believe. This is June 6th.
Wow. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Who's the poet, Dana?
The poet. Oh, yes. The poet is, first of all, the poem is called Autumn Song. It's translated from the French. It's called Autumn Song. And the poet is Paul Verlaine.
Nice.
So anyway, let's clean up here. Actually, that was my last question, so I don't have much left. But Kira, what do you have?
A woman's heart is a deep ocean of secrets. That comes from Titanic.
Yeah. Mm.
Okay. And We Were Married Once, Weren't We? Is Vertigo.
Oh.
And the actress who was Howard Hawks' second cousin that he cast in one of his movies.
What's the movie?
It's called Something Sensory. Now I've already forgotten.
Oh, 20th Century? Was Carol Lombard his second cousin?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It was my understanding based on limited research that yes.
Okay.
That's what I got.
Thank you very much. Good. And Lori, anything?
On my list of diverse cities, I was surprised no one guessed Oakland, even though it would be wrong. The second most diverse city after Vallejo is Suisun City, also in Solano County, not as well known. And Oakland is third. And then that's it for me.
All right. So we hope you enjoyed the show. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is on every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our thanks to our panel tonight. That would be Kira Pace, technical editor, Lori Fisher from Dabo Valley College. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Our thanks to Damian D. Miner for handling the board and phones. And, of course, our greatest thanks to you out there for taking the time to tune in and call. And please remember to join us next Sunday at 7 p.m. Thanks, everybody. Have a great rest of the weekend. Bye-bye.